Episode number 23. I'm your host, 65 Lokes. Thank you for tuning in. And I just want to say that when I'm done with this recording, I'm on my way headed to Long Beach. And man, this whole week has been a very productive and crazy weekend. Starting from Friday, obviously, I'm talking about Armando and our friend Dream On. Who does Dream On Photography on Instagram. We headed out all the way to Salinas, first time heading out there and experiencing Salinas. And I wanted to shout out Juan and David from Central Coast Scale Classic for bringing us out. If it wasn't for those guys collaborating with Dead End Magazine, you know, it would have not been possible for us to have the presentations. So I want to thank them, you know, reaching out ahead of time and wanting to come out. And you know, I'm very very happy, and we feel blessed that this was, you know, possible, and it was a success. You know, we brought out all the cars, the presentation. Armando even went out of his way. He created a Scale Riders building, brand new building, for the Whittier Boulevard display. He also did a Balms magazine building, and thank you for doing that. That was quite of a surprise. He had mentioned he wanted to do, a building. You know, he had said, have you ever thought about doing one? And I was like, no. And it was just something that I thought, you know what, maybe down the road we'll do it. But, you know, out of a surprise, he's like, check it out. And I was like, wow. Like, I was just blown away. I posted some pictures in there on my Instagram and also on Facebook. But I'm going to be posting more. It's kind of cool because there was a lot of little decals, little posters that were included in there. And he had asked me, like, what would I like or what I'm into. So I kind of started to mention things that I'm into, from music to skateboarding, turntables. So all this stuff, he kind of just put it all together, threw it in there. So me seeing that, it's almost like a reflection of like my bedroom in a way. Of the things that I'm surrounded with, that I'm into. So it was dope, like, to see that there. But Friday, you know, by noontime, Armando and Dream On showed up. They picked me up. We were on our way. It's about a 4 to 5 hour drive from Oxnard all the way up to Salinas. And my experience going out there, I've never exited to visit the city. I've always passed by it on my way travels up north. So this was a first time, you know, exiting and being out there in the city. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how it's going to be and everything, but then just being there and seeing how the community is, you could just tell that everybody just, has this big connection with each other. Like, they show love, and they're very supportive, super supportive. And just getting there, you know, we started to bring stuff down, setting up the display. Armando even got like a time-lapse video on his Instagram page where we're setting all that up. So you'll kind of get to see that in there. And if you want to see it, it's on his Instagram at Armando Flores 1032. We proceeded to set up inside the store. We placed our banners on the windows just so it looks a lot more cleaner, more of a professional look that we were going to be there in store. We had stickers also, you know, right there laid out to give out. And people were just coming in, you know, checking stuff out. It's a small store, but it's really cool store. The way it's laid out, Dead End Magazine, they sell clothing, books, posters. You could tell they have a very big passion for custom cars, lowriders, but they also have this passion for clothing, like skateboarding, and also photography. What I like is that they work with a lot of the younger up and coming photographers, and they give them opportunities to participate and get them involved in their magazine and their book, physical prints that they do and posters. And you know, there's one kid that I talked to the next day, at the event. But it's crazy. I've been following this kid for like maybe the last 4 years on Instagram. He's a photographer, and I'll bring up his pictures and his link on the show notes. But it's just crazy. Like four or 5 years, I started following him. He's following me back, and you know, I appreciate his work. He definitely has an eye for photography, like just his shots, everything he was taking. And I finally got to meet him. But when I met him, I didn't really kind of realize it was him. My friend Luis, he introduced me to him, and he had mentioned, you know, he's a good photographer. He's pretty popular. Introduced me to him. I started talking to him, and then I was like, "Hey, what's your Instagram?" And then I said, "I have a feeling I might be following you. I'm not sure, because you know, not everybody posts their pictures of themselves on Instagram." So he showed me his account, and I was like, "Yeah, I follow you." And then he saw which my account was. So now he was like, "Yeah, I follow you back too." So it was cool. We hit it off, the convo, and just, you know, I asked him, "How long have you been doing this now for?" And he's like, "Well, I started when I was 7 years old, and now he was like, I think he was like 14. So it just goes to show he was influenced and exposed at a young age. And now that he's growing up, he's being more involved. And this is dope, because he's being super focused on his work. And even him at that age, he was very mature. Like, he already knew a plan and a vision of what he was going to do, you know, when he's, let's say, 18, 20. So I wouldn't be surprised if he will become, you know, like the next, like a very popular photographer. Not only for cars, but you know, that could lead to other opportunities, for shooting photos for companies. But I just thought it was very neat. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with, Dead End Magazine getting him involved, you know, with them. So that was something that, a very big impression, a good one that I, took home with me, from that. There was a lot of cars that were there present the night of the pre-party, parked, lined up all along the sidewalk, also cruising up and down the street. So a lot of people got to see, you know, cars. People were out there with their long chairs, just chilling, talking. Everyone was excited for the next day, pre-registering, for the event, as well as just, you know, people were buying merchandise. And it was so cool to just see different people rocking different Dead End t-shirts. So it obviously shows that they've been supporting this since like day one, you know. And it's very important, how I said before, like the support, and especially having a storefront. I know from my experience with my parents' business, you know, like rent is always expensive for a business. If you ever see a business, and it doesn't matter how many people are in there or whatever, if you see it, you know, not popping off or not, but if you can't make rent, obviously, on your sales, or even if you just use up all your savings, it's like you're done. And a lot of the times, you know, you see businesses and they're there, they're paying rent each month, but you might not see a lot of people going in there, and you might be wondering, like, you know, how do they maintain or what? You know, they might be selling some high-end things, you don't know, but the thing is that there is some people that do support it. It's just they are there when you're probably not paying attention or not passing by that store at that moment. But they are able to pay the rent. So that's why they maintain for so many years in business. It's only until the very end when there's no more support, no one's purchasing their products, you know, that's when it's time to close the doors down. And sometimes too, it can be the lack of management. You know, for my parents' business, I get to deal with a lot of the customer service. I get to talk to a lot of different people. So if there is any issue, I'm going to be the one that's going to have to deal with it. And we always, you know, like customer service is the biggest thing. Like we put that priority number one. You know, we want to give best quality, you know, best service, timing, everything. Like timing is key with anything you do, you know. And like over here, you know, they have their storefront and it's just so nice the way they have it set up and how involved everybody's there. It's like everybody just knows that when they buy a shirt, a sticker, a jacket, anything that comes out of that store is support for that store to keep it going. And you can just tell that for them being hanging out there in that location, this is now a tradition. You know, they're there. It's part of their culture. They look forward to it every year. The Custom Capital, this was their fifth annual event. And from what they were saying is this was, you know, since it's the latest one, it's the biggest one they've had. It's obviously growing. And, you know, I hope that the next one's even bigger for them. You know, they had a lot of people that came from down south, up north, you know, that were, I mean, we came out 4 or 5 hours away. Some people probably came out the same distance from different directions or even farther. But the one thing is that everybody was there. And I mean, throughout the night, it was cool. We were talking and speaking with different artists that paint. They had some of their paintings up there. They had their photography up there as well. And, you know, a lot of them had a lot of questions about model cars. They were very shocked to see replicas that Armando has created in model form. They've seen them in pictures, but this was an opportunity for them to see them in person. So us being there, it wasn't just about us. It wasn't about masterpieces. It wasn't about scale riders. This was about the community. This, I felt like this was us being the representatives of all you guys that build scale model cars. Because like, yeah, we built, you know, this model car, but it came from the heart, but it also came from the influence of every single one of you, you know. That was a journey that, you know, the model cars took us there from the guys at Central Coast Scale Classic, you know, reaching out to bring us out. But before all that, you know, begins, it originates from you. So, you know, if somebody influences me to, you know, create something that inspires me, I definitely want to give that back to all you guys. I want to do whatever I can to help you guys, to inspire you guys, you know, to keep pushing and moving forward. And us being out there, it just, you know, I felt, you know, I was very proud and I was happy to just be there and hanging out. I mean, I had a great time. Don't get me wrong. It was fun, you know, just talking to people and just hearing them and seeing their expressions and everything of how they were tripping out on these models, how the details that were in there, the colors. It was just very vibrant, lots of colors that were coming out. But at the same time, though, it was just like, it's almost like if we all were part of like a company or a team or any, you know, some collective, big, large group. And we were just out there and we just happened to be the representatives in that moment. So then next time when one of you guys is in another state doing a presentation, now it's your turn, you know, like you guys are doing your part. You're bringing awareness. You know, there was a lot of kids that were there too. There was lots of kids. And, you know, it's funny because kids, they show up and they see colors. They just see lots of colors in cars and that attracts them right away and they get curious. You know, the first thing a kid wants to do is touch it. They want to like poke at it. They're just like, because it's a mystery to them. They don't know. They're like, what is this? Is this a toy? Like they're trying to figure out, like, is this plastic, metal? Is it like a solid item or what's going to happen? Is it going to break? You know, like they're very curious. And, you know, obviously these items, you know, they're not to be handled. It's not a toy. It's not, you're not going to, you know, grab it and just wheel it back and forth. It will break, definitely. And these are art pieces. So I thought it was really cool that parents were explaining to their kids what these items were. I know sometimes the first thing we do is we tell them, don't touch that. Hey, get your hands off. You know, parents are like, no, what are you doing? No. Hey, don't touch anything, you know? And I mean, for us, we don't want to like say anything like that to like scare a kid off, you know? You don't want to like traumatize a kid from like, hey, you know, you want them to be curious. You want them to be out there and try to see, you know, especially if it's something that they're used to playing with. So now they're like, wait a minute, like, this is crazy. There's these big cars outside that are nice and beautiful. And now there's another one, but it's in here and it's tiny, you know? So I thought it was cool that parents were explaining to them about the cars, telling them, just explaining and saying like, look, this car here, it's not a toy. It's more of an art piece. This is a replica of a real car. Oh, this one, you look at all those lines, look at the flake. They were explaining already to their kids what was put on these cars. And I thought that was cool that they were going that extra mile to do all that stuff. But the kids, it's like, they might not say nothing because they don't know the words at that moment. But I just know that them seeing that, it definitely impacts them, because at some point, they're going to make the decision in their life of what they want to do, what path they want to take. But if their father or their grandparents or their family, they're very involved with cars, I know at some point the kid's going to want to build a model car, and eventually it's going to move him up to now wanting to own a bigger car. You know, the scale model cars that we build, the artistry expressions of what we dream of one day we could own. You know, if we had all the money in the world, we can build this, you know, and we could own it. I know we are all, you know, in different situations. But the fun part is that this is plastic. You can create whatever you want. You can manipulate it however you want. But at the end of the day, it's not taking up a lot of space. Like, you could put it up on your shelf, on your case, and just appreciate it every day you walk in to your house or to your bench, your cave, wherever you have your stuff set up. You know, you go to work and everything, but you're proud of that piece of what you just created. So this was a very fun, positive experience of us coming out there. And I'm so happy and I'm glad that we went out there, you know. And I definitely feel like there was more of there was awareness, obviously, and showing that, you know, there's still people out there building model cars. Yes, it's still an underground thing, but I already know that within some years, 2-3 years, it's going to get bigger and bigger. Like, so much has happened within the last 6 months, even last year. I can't even wait what's going to happen throughout the rest of this year and then next year, you know. Also want to shout out Alex. Alex is from up north. He's also on Instagram, and he's a contributor for Glasshouse magazine. They've just came out with their first issue, and Glasshouse, they are featuring at least a couple pages with model cars, and it's nice that they're doing that. You know, he's taking charge of that. And I mean, salutes to you. You know, he's looking out. You could tell, you know, they want to bring some spotlight to the model cars on that. And you also have Street Scene, Lowrider Magazine. They're coming out. Oh, no, Lowrider Scene. Sorry. Lowrider Scene Magazine. They're also coming out with model car features. So little by little, you know, we're going to start seeing a lot of magazines pop up. And when they do come out, we got to support them. You know, even if your car is not even featured, but down the road, if, you know, you make that connection and you keep in contact with who's running the magazine, eventually you'll have that opportunity and you will be on a magazine, you know. Don't expect or think I need to be in one or whatever, like right off the bat. It takes time. Like your work, you know, it's going to tell like how fast. So let's say, like, don't ever rush it, because everything is timing. Maybe at that moment you feel like, yeah, like my car should be in a magazine. Definitely. It should be in a magazine. Why not? But then again, what if it does get put in a magazine? Later you're going to see it and you might not be happy with it, because by the time it gets published, you might be on another level of building, or you might have a different build that you're gonna be like, man, I should have waited. And sometimes when you get placed on a magazine placement, it's one of those things that happens once, and it's gonna take maybe a year or two for it to come back around in full circle and happen again, because they give opportunity. They have to give opportunities to everybody else to get in there, and then it kind of comes back. It just depends. It's really, really tricky. It's very relative with music. When I was on a independent record label, I had finished an album, and then I was up next. But then it got pulled back because they put two other releases in front of me from two other artists. But I was in like, oh man, I just was like, it's cool. I'll keep continue working with what I'm doing. So by the time now it was my turn to release my release, now I had two more albums done. So now I had a total of three, but I already knew that one of them was going to come out. Those other two, even though I had them done, they weren't going to come out within that year. They were going to probably come out 2 years later, maybe even 3 years later. So I kept those albums aside. So finally, this first album comes out, and it came out at a perfect timing for me. Everything worked out. I'm so happy that I waited. I was very pleased with the album. Finally, I still continued working. And then later, they told me, hey, we know you have two more albums, and we're in an independent label. We don't want to hold those two albums hostage. Like meaning that, you know, like, that you have to wait for us to release it. You can't release with no one else. They were like, no, you know, there's someone else that reached out to us from a different label. They're interested in that, and that out, and one of the albums, and we gave them the green light. Now it's up to you. Do you want to do it? And, you know, it wasn't going to burn any bridges or nothing. Everything was cool. The thing is, they wanted to push me. They wanted my stuff to get out. So it was a green light, and I had two separate projects and two different labels, but spread out, not right away. Like, first there was one that got promoted, it came out, there was time to breathe, and then later the next one came out. And those two things helped me a lot to stay busy with promoting gigs. So it's kind of the same when you're putting something out with your scale model builds. I know that in the future there's going to be various different magazines that are going to be you know, featuring you and or featuring your friend. And I mean, definitely when you put one feature out, for you to have a second feature on that same magazine, it might take a little time, you know. But what's cool is by the time we have all these other magazines, like, now you'll be able to have options of, once they reach out to you, you know, to put your car in different features. So you keep staying active. But then again, being featured on a magazine is like, that's like the sprinkles on the cake. It's the icing on the cake. It's all of that, you know. First of all, you're building for yourself. You know, I'm building for myself. And if somebody admires my work, I'm very thankful and grateful, you know, that, and appreciative that they are taking the time to tell me that they like it and whatnot. And, you know, if they tell me they want to feature it or something, you know, I'm just like, I can't even believe it. You know, I'm very happy and humbled by it. So the same kind of thing, when you get that opportunity, it's just like, wow, you know, you always gotta be ready. You always have to be ready, you know, always, you know, when you're building, build for yourself, stick to it, because when you build for yourself, there's no stress. It's all on you. If you mess up, it's okay. You'll find a solution to fix it. There's no, like, no one's telling you what needs to be done as far as like, oh, I don't like that color. You know, it's not a job. It's more you doing this as an escape from everything else. You're zoning in on your thing and you're expressing yourself. Sometimes I get hit up for a commission, and I know I've mentioned this before on other previous episodes. And now, as time has passed leading up to now, at first I didn't know how to answer that question for like, how much do you charge? to paint something for me, or would you build a model car for me, or a replica? Now that I have a better kind of understanding of where I'm at right now, I honestly don't want to do that right now. I just want to continue building for myself, because I feel like the moment where I start, turning me building models into a business, I feel like that's where I feel like it's going to affect me as far as like my love for it, you know, because I might, that model that I might be, let's say I take a commission on, I might be like falling in love with that build, that when I'm done with it, it's like, I know that I poured like everything in there, you know, I threw the kitchen sink, everything in there, my feelings, you know, my thoughts, everything went into that model. And finally, it's like, I'm not even going to want to let it go, because everything that I was going through that time is in that model car. You know, even my soul, everything is in there. Everything is in there. And the same goes to music. When people produce their music, they pour their heart, energy, and soul in there. So when you hear someone's song, yeah, you hear their voice or you hear the beat, but you also, if the more you hear it, you do hear their soul in that song. So the same thing with these model cars. It's the soul's in there. Definitely, it's in there. So I already know that, I don't know. It wouldn't work out. I wouldn't work out. I do have friends that are reaching out and they need help with a paint job, and I'm willing to help, and that's something I need to figure out. You know, I just feel bad. I don't want to tell a friend, hey, I'll charge you this much, like something all outrageous or, you know, it's like, I don't know. I need to figure something out so that way it works out for them, where I get to help them, you know, and then also it could work out for me too, where, you know, my timing, because right now, as it is, it's like my time, I feel like it's starting to kind of run out as to what I'm doing. Every day I have to be doing something, but I do like it though. It's not that I don't like it. It keeps me on my toes, like everything that I'm doing, and it's, before there was a time where I was just focusing on just one thing, and, you know, I had so much time in my hands. But now with the podcast, communicating with different artists, wanting to bring them on the podcast, doing features, I like it because I'm interacting with the community. They're interacting with me. I'm getting to know them as they're getting to know me. I know at some point, once we hang out, at a show, or they visit me, or vice versa, I visit them, the connection is now bridged even more, you know, and we both have a better understanding of what we're coming from, and then the support, definitely it grows bigger from there, you know. And I mean, I'm very happy that you guys listen to these episodes. I do get messages from you guys thanking me and telling me that you're listening to the episodes, and I appreciate that, you know, and thank you for taking the time. I really mean it. You know, when I'm doing this, I wish I can record 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, to help you guys. When you're driving or you're working on your build, just to get that push. It's just sometimes it gets tough because there's things I got to do, in my agenda for the day or for the week. And I try to be as much as responsible as I can to provide that episode for you guys every week. But when I do sneak one in there during the middle of the week, you know, that's just something I want to do for you guys, because I had the time. And also my guests that come onto the show, I really like that they are willing to take the time out of their day to be on the podcast, because this way, you know, we converse, we get to hear their voice, we get to hear their stories, but I get to share it with all you guys. All you guys get to hear it, you know? And I hope that If you don't know the guests, you do some research, you look them up online, you know, whether on Instagram, layitlow.com, Google them on Facebook, look them up. You know, a lot of these people that I'm bringing on, they have a lot of history and scale modeling from back in the day and to present day now. And they're very passionate. They have a big heart for it too. You know, like you guys, none of us want to see this end. I don't think it'll ever end. It's always going to continue. It's just, we just got to support each other to push it to the next level and to the next level. Because without the support, you know, like, how are we going to take it to the next level? We need to just keep pushing that out there. So on that, I also wanted to say, when we were at the Custom Capital show, which happened to be the car show, we get there early in the morning. We got to see a lot of, like, half of the cars roll in, get all set up. I thought we were just going to be in a small canopy, and I was quite surprised that they had set up in this huge, long tent. And we ran three long tables where we set up the Whittier Boulevard there. And from there, we walked around, you know, I mean, we took breaks, you know, hanging out with our model car builds, but then we also walked around. We did, you know, some laps just checking out other cars. And I did notice that they have a big passion for custom cars. Big passion. I'm used to seeing a lot of lowriders over here down south, but out there, there was some lowriders, but there was a lot more customs. And as of late, customs have been catching my eye a lot, like a lot. Like, every time I see a custom car, I'm getting ideas, and then colors. Like, there's so much detail and custom work that goes into the body. And it's just something that, it's helping me broaden what I'm into. At the moment, I feel like I'm going to be focusing on that genre for a bit and then going back to lowriders. And then I want to start getting into more other genres, bringing them in more and more and more. So that way I can have a little bit more experience, you know, with everything, but at the same time be educated, because I know every single genre has their own style, their own, let's say, slang, you know. It's all different. It's sort of related, but, you know, they all have their own uniqueness to each. So I definitely want to be more educated with that there. There was also a gentleman that I had met. He was one of the vendors there. On Instagram, he goes by JR_ArtDesign. And he said he flew out from out of state to have a booth there with his brother, because he's an artist, he draws. And we started talking there for a while. He had a lot of beautiful art, and it was very inexpensive. He was, like, pretty much almost giving it away. And to him, it wasn't, you know, for him, it was just like, you know, I love this, and I just want to just share it, you know. If somebody can have my prints in their house, like, that's cool. You know, and you could tell he was very appreciative that people were coming out and buying his stuff. I did post some pictures today of his work, and I tagged his Instagram and everything on my account if you guys want to check out his art. But I can't wait to get these framed up and up on my wall. And I also want to put some up in my paint room. Lately, I've been putting a lot of more, like, flyers and stuff on my paint room, because I just want that room to be very colorful with a lot of things to see. And but yeah, we had a conversation, and I was telling him he should come out more down south, LA, San Diego area. And he was planning that hopefully this year or next year he would like to come out. But man, he was like a very humble person, and just something that, you know, talking to him, you know, he's an artist for drawing. I wish I knew how to draw. I do not know how to draw. But who knows now, maybe if I try it, but I really don't want to dive too much into it, but I love it and I appreciate it. So it was just cool to hear his point of view with art. And also for that day, I wanted to shout out Ray Flores. He happened to be the scale writer's pick for the car model contest. So he is also, his Instagram and everything, and his car is going to be on the show notes. So we'll place him up on there as well. But man, there were so many beautiful cars that were set up there at the show, just chilling, like everything. There was also loiter bikes, but then there was also these other bikes. I don't know what their name is, but you could tell these were like modified, like cruiser bikes, like stuff I had never seen before. And some of them were telling me that, yeah, this is like, you know, becoming a very popular thing. And it's kind of the same thing, you know, it's probably relative to model building. Like for some of them, it's still an underground thing, but the more they're bringing out different things out to shows, doing these presentations or entering contests, they're bringing out more awareness, you know, where now it's going to become the norm. I feel that that's where scale modeling is going to be later. Like, you know, it's being implemented in these car shows. Sometimes I like to say piggyback, like we're piggybacking onto these car shows. But then again, later it's going to become the norm that now, the you know, there's just going to be a lot of car model shows, standalone shows, where they're not going to have to be piggybacked onto anything else. It's going to be its own thing because there's going to be enough people that are going to support it and participate and also attend the event. It's just a, like a thought and a vision that I think about and I see it, and I hope you guys see it too, because it is going to happen. It's definitely going to happen, you know, and if you think it's not going to happen in your area, then maybe you need to come out here and visit us one day. And I'm also going to have to do that too and come out and visit you guys too, wherever you're at, you know. Just like I've said before, hit me up with flyers or on Instagram, you know, hit me up and let me know of what events, what you got coming up, or what do you have planned. This way, if I have the opportunity, I'm able to go with planning and everything, I can come out. And why not, you know, I gotta get out, you know. And I didn't get home last night till I think 10:32, exactly 10:32 by the time I got home last night on Saturday. We did the drive right after the show. We just, you know, said goodbye to everybody and we headed back. Also, Eric and Luis of Masterpieces came out from up north. They met up with us. I got to see some of the future builds of Luis. They're not concept. Like, I know one of them's a replica, or a couple of them are replicas, and then one of them's for Cadillac Fest. He had another build that I don't think it's a replica. I think this is just him expressing himself, messing with flake colors. And I took pictures of all his stuff, obviously. I had to document. Little by little, I'll be posting them up. I just don't want to bombard it with too many photos of his projects. I want each picture to kind of breathe for a little bit and get appreciated for what he's doing, because I like his style. He's very clean, very patient. He's super patient. I remember a while back we were talking about cutting the seats from our Cadillacs. And when I cut my seats, I pretty much just ripped them apart, you know, and then I cleaned them up and I sanded them down. He took the time and he cut his out, taking the time, and man, they came out so clean. And he added styrene, like he filled it in everything. And I'm always like, man, I'm amazed with your work. Like, all your craftsmanship, it's just flawless. Like, it's always clean. And his car, just seeing it primered, is beautiful. Like, it's almost like, just leave it like that. That way we can see the, you know, the ins and outs of it already right there. But obviously the next steps are painting once he gets that done there. So it was nice to see them. Last time I saw both of them was in January. So they did mention, and they said that they will be coming out to Cadillac Fest July 29th in the City of Industry. I believe that's the next show that we have coming up, because this month in June, right now that I can think of, I don't think there's anything right now lined up. But if I'm forgetting, or if something pops up, you know, I will definitely let you guys know on the next episode. But for sure, I know Cadillac Fest, July 29th is coming up, City of Industry. There's going to be lots of Cadillacs for the 101 scale outside set up, and indoors they're going to be having a lowrider bike competition as well as the model car competition, and Armando Flores will be doing his masterpieces presentation there. So there's a lot. It's going to be a big event. One of my homies, Dennis Matthew, all the way from Florida, is going to be out in California, and he hit me up. He's planning to be there at Cadillac Fest. He will be bringing his cars too, to participate there. So I'm looking forward to meeting him. And if you're planning on coming out too, hit me up, give me a heads up. You know, this way we can meet up there at the show. Time is going to fly. I already know that once we're there, we're all going to be excited. We're going to get there early, but it's just going to go by fast. You know, we're even going to forget to eat. You know, you're just going to be having so much fun. You're going to forget to eat, and then it's over. And then you're like, man, I don't think I took so many pictures. Like, it's gone. But it'll happen. It always happens. And it's funny because when we were at the show on Saturday, I ran into Gooseneck Magazine. I've been following him for a few years. He's been following me back. We communicate on there here and there. And I saw him talking to my friend. Introduced myself to him, and then after, you know, as they were conversing, I stepped away real quick to take a picture of a car. When I came back, I noticed the back of his shirt. It said Gooseneck Magazine. So it clicked. I was like, oh, this must be him. So I bring it up to him, and he says, yes, it's me. And then I tell him who I am, and then he's like, dude, what's up? So it was dope. Like, we finally, you know, now we have a face to the name. So from there, I was like, hold on, stay right here. I'll be back. Let me go bring you some stickers, some Scale Rider stickers, because I already know how these things go sometimes. You know, like we say, oh, let me give you this or her, you know, I'll see you in a bit. And sometimes you get so busy and time flies that you don't even see each other anymore. Like, we both go our own ways, you know. So right away, I made sure to run to the car, grab some stickers, come back, and give it to him, because I wanted to make sure that he had that for him. Gooseneck Magazine, check out his Instagram. He's a very nice guy and very talented photographer. So I was very, it was a pleasure meeting him there. So I don't know, like, all this stuff went down like so fast. I can't believe it went down like that. And then Sunday, which is right now as I'm speaking, I had to attend my cousin's wedding. I have a cousin getting married on a Sunday. So I had to get ready for the wedding. Then, you know, it was time for me to leave after the ceremony, after the food and everything. I was just like, I need to go, because I knew that I needed to record the podcast. And at the same time, I need to be on my way to Long Beach. I'm headed out to Long Beach. So I kind of, I'm like just kind of zipping here and there, a little bit of everywhere, but we'll see how I feel on Monday, you know, tomorrow. Let's see if I still have the energy. But, you know, it's all about planning, timing, and patience. You know, if I can one way or another kind of help you guys with that, to inspire you guys, I hope you guys, you know, everything's possible. Everything is definitely possible here. And before also I go, I wanted to also mention we had Chris from Down a Scale. He recently passed away. He was a scale model builder and artist. And I got to meet him last year at Cadillac Fest. Rest in peace, Chris. My condolences to your family, to the Down a Scale members, and your friends, and, like, you know, everybody who you met, who interacted with you. You know, my condolences out to you guys. I'm still shocked. You know, I found this out last night when I got back from up north, and I was just quite shocked. One of those things that you just don't believe. And it's just like, the more, you know, the hours pass and the time passes, you start to really dig deep into your head, into your thoughts, and to really like think, you know, of memories, you know, of interactions, you know, with our friends and loved ones that pass. So, you know, I started thinking about him, and I started to remember everything clear of how I met him. And I met him at Cadillac Fest through Willie, there when they were doing the Whittier Boulevard presentation. He had his model cars in the presentation, and it was just something that when I met him, he was a very nice, genuine guy. You know, at that time, I didn't know about patterns or painting or anything. I was still new to it. I was just using Tamiya rattle cans. So right away, when I started talking to him, I started asking him so many questions. You know, I was like, which cars are yours? And he's like, this one, this one, this one, and this one. So we went for the first one, and I started asking him all these questions, like, you know, when'd you build this? Or how'd you do that? Or how'd you do this? You know, oh, I see that. Like, every little detail, I was just asking him. And it was cool that he was so nice enough to break it down to me and tell me, like, how he did it. You know, I was a, you know, stranger, just met him, and he's telling me this stuff, you know. And then from looking at it from the outside, just seeing, like, the bond and relationship, you know, him with his club members, you could just tell, you know, there was a big love for each other. So as time had passed, I had started to see him more and more at shows when he would come out. And also I started to see him at Willie's house. So it was always cool. You know, he was just chill and always laughing, having a good time. So for me, it's like you know, it's all these like positive memories, you know. And I know with them for sure, they have a lot more memories because they knew him a lot longer than me. So I hope that you guys that knew him for so long, you know, I'm sorry to hear the news that he passed, but please just make sure to remember like all the good times. Remember all the, you know, how he made you guys laugh, like when you guys worked on projects, like think of all the good times, you know. I hope that this brings you guys peace, you know, and happiness, and not, you know, because it's very difficult. Some years back, you know, when my grandfather passed away, like I was crushed, you know. It was like, that was the closest thing to me that passed away in a family. So, and I was very close to him. So that crushed me. But just knowing that, you know, all the good times that we had together, the interest that he had in me and all the things that I was doing, that's what kept me happy. That's what helped me pull through at the end. And I always think of him, my grandfather, and no matter where I go, wherever, whether I'm by myself or I'm in an uncomfortable situation or I'm in an uncomfortable place, even if I'm scared, thinking of him takes the scaredness, the nervousness. It takes, even when I'm sad, it takes all that away. It helps me come back to like, to normal. Like, I don't want to say reality, because that is the reality. It's just, it brings me back to where I feel strong. I feel protected, you know? And I know, each one of us has had someone that has passed away in our lives or is gone, and it hurts, but just think of like the good times, you know? And just know that they're there with you like they are. I honestly feel that people, friends that I grew up with as kids, there was a lot of friends that I had pass away growing up, and I kept their picture, like their obituary, anything that I could have of theirs, I kept it with me. And I honestly believe that all these people that are, when they leave, it's like they're, you know, they're angels. Like, they definitely are. They're angels. And you know, you had interactions with them, and now you know, they're doing their job by protecting you. So just hope you guys keep that in mind, and rest in peace to Chris. Later, you know, I hope everybody, you know, we all share his work, you know, to get inspired. And I hope everybody just stays positive, keeps working hard, and, you know, just remember everything that Chris or your loved one in your life has done for you that is not here in physical form, you know, but they're there. They're there close to you. And I hope, you know, everybody has a good rest of your week. We'll see you next week. And, you know, just keep on building, guys. And thank you for listening. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And I hope everybody is safe out there, and take care. All right, guys. Peace. Escorts out.